I wonder what message you hear this week. What messages are you hearing in your environment? Do they make you feel good about your life? Do they make you feel down about your life? Is it the standard old message, oh, we're getting older, or I'm getting older, and I am getting older, and I'll tell you more about that later. But what message are you receiving this week? Is it something that makes your life feel better? Is it something that moves you on to a new direction of your life? Does it make you feel like God created you for whom you should be? The messages we hear are important. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And sadly, we're at the end of our series, The Domino Effect. We've been going through the book of Colossians, talking about some of the enormous things that can happen when we start to understand key moments in our life, or key moments in Colossians. Just by starting by a 2-inch domino, understanding the ascension of Christ and how the proximity of our lives to that matters. And that knocks over a domino, another 1.5 times bigger than that. Say that Christ, we understand that Christ is in you. We understand after that domino falls that Christ is in us. Yeah, yeah. And then we understand when we start understanding those things, another domino goes over and we understand that Christ is our life. We realize what we talked about last week. When our Christ is our life, we want to clothe ourselves. We want to clothe ourselves with a method. We want to clothe ourselves with love. And we want to put a big graduation gown over everything, all of the values that Paul talks about in Colossians. And so this domino effect has been happening through the book of Colossians. Paul, who is responsible for communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean, he's the apostle Paul, who had a massive conversion, is now communicating this message around to the different churches and areas in Greece and Asia Minor. And the message is really important for Paul. I wanted to hear a new message. I wanted to hear something different than the message I was receiving way back in 1992. The environment that I was in was the Navy. I was in the military at the time. And the messages that I was hearing was work hard, play hard, and get drunk all the time because it makes you feel really good. In fact, the message I was receiving is that if you could drink all night and drink copious amounts of pints and alcohol, that you were the best drinker out there. That made you look cool. And this is the kind of environment that I was in. These are the messages that I was hearing. And deep down, I wanted to hear, I didn't know back then, but deep down, I wanted to hear a new message. I wanted to hear something that was going to give me life and a better trajectory as we moved on through life. And I was 20 years old. And I grew up going to church, thankful that my mother taught me that the Bible was an important document and that I should read it. And so I thought I'd go down to this Bible study. I found a flyer. Wasn't really reading the Bible that much back then, and I thought, well, I'll go down to this Bible study. I seen a flyer, and it was about going to the Royal Sailors Rest, which is kind of like a pub with rooms and everything, but it didn't have alcohol. It was a place where people would just hang out and have some time together, drink coffee and tea. I went down there, and I met these people, Woody and Mike. And these were kind of like the elders of the group that were studying the Bible. And Woody and Mike, they started to pour into me. They started to ask me questions. I think they genuinely liked me and genuinely wanted to know whom I was and where I come from. They like took a genuine interest in me. Now, I know you have a hard time understanding this. I know you don't think this of me, but back then I was really obnoxious. I didn't deserve the grace that I was being given. I didn't deserve the kind of like niceties that these people were giving towards me. But these people loved on me. They through their actions, they show me that Jesus loved me. And I met some other people, Kathy Millward and Simon Simmons and Debbie Whitaker-Smith and others that were showing the love of Christ to me. They made me feel that Christ actually liked me. They made me feel like I had value, that Christ cherished me. And these people weren't like rock stars or anything. They weren't like, you know, super preachers that you see on Instagram. These people weren't like, you know, worship leaders with a million followers. You know, these weren't like in the popular crowd. They were just people passionate to communicate the gospel. And they invited me to their home. Their home was close by, and they invited me to their house, and we studied there, and we discussed what it meant to follow Christ there, and we got food, and they realized I didn't have a washing machine in my accommodation, and they did my laundry for me, took care of me, took me in. And through their actions, through them communicating the message of how much Christ loved them, I decided in October of 1992 to follow Christ. I had a moment where my life totally turned around. I said, I'm not going to do follow the in crowd anymore. I'm going to follow this crowd because this crowd gets it. Amen? And because of these non-heroes, because of these people who were communicating the message through the way they lived their lives, I decided to make a difference in my own life because of the message that they were communicating to me. And the message we receive, it will cause us to act upon what that is. And Paul was really passionate about that. Paul wanted us all to know, that was his whole mission in life, is that people would know what it was to follow Jesus Christ. And so our text today at the end of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. It's the last installment of this letter to Colossae. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, if you've got your phone, just look it up. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. And I'll start reading that for us when you get there. It's all about encouragement to Colossae. First thing he says is, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Bless you. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. So Paul is in chains, and the first thing he says is, devote yourselves. Devote yourselves to prayer. And that word devote there means be attentive all the time to that thing. The kind of way you're so attentive to making sure that your phone is charged. Amen? The kind of attentiveness that you have when you're looking for that one meal, that one restaurant, that one type of food that you always like. You're typing away on your phone looking for that restaurant. That kind of devotion. The kind of devotion that wants us to be involved, to be passionate about. He says, devote yourselves with two things. Devote yourselves with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Being aware of what's going on around us, being aware of what's going on in our community, our state, and our country, being aware of what's going on in Texas, being consciously aware through constant prayer. What is it that you're asking God for? What is it that you're in constant prayer about? I know you agree with Kathy when she prayed that we would be in constant prayer for an end to this kind of violence. Amen? And when you pray for a long time, when you continue to pray, this turns into action. This turns into us doing something with our life, being attentive to what's going around us, alert, and with a thankful heart. This week, after what's gone on this week, we've been thankful. You wake up the next day, you grab those babies, grab those grandchildren, and you're thankful. I'm thankful that I woke up this morning. I'm thankful that I'm breathing. I'm thankful that I can turn the faucet on and water comes out. Oh, I can walk. Praise God. I've seen 3 babies born this week. Praise the Lord. Be thankful that you can sit here today and sing. Be thankful. Yeah, pray for things, but be thankful. Then he says, pray for us too, that God will give us an opportunity to speak. Another English version, it says that God will open some doors for us to speak. Pray for us. Now, the people he's talking about there are these people he's mentioned after this text. Tychius, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. These are the team. This is ministry team. These are the people that are taking care of him while he's in jail. These are the people that get it. And Paul says, pray for us that we might have an opportunity, the team, to communicate, to minister the message of Christ. Now, if I was Paul and I was stuck in jail and I was in chains for the gospel, the first thing that I'd ask people to pray for is that I would get out of jail, amen? Get me out of here. I'm in here wrongly. They've accused me wrongly, and all I've done is just gone around communicating the message, and I'm in chains for it. But he doesn't say that. He says, pray for us that I might have an opportunity, even when I'm in chains, in here, that I might have an opportunity to speak the message that we received, that my team is going to communicate to the rest of the community. Just give us an opportunity. Pray for us. Pray that I'll be able to proclaim the message in new ways, as clearly as I should. And then he says, live wisely among other believers. Be careful how you talk. In other places it says, season your conversation with salt. When you're talking to other people who don't understand the message that you get, that you're sitting here, you know the message, you want to hear something, and you're talking to unbelievers or people who are skeptics or agnostic, or they've been an atheist all their life and they don't like it. Think about what you're going to say to them. Season your conversation with salt. I love watermelon. You like watermelon? Who doesn't like watermelon? Quenches your thirst. I love watermelon. Well, when I moved to Florida, I realized that when somebody said, put salt on it. Put salt on it. All the juices come out, right? Season your conversation with salt so that something will come out of the person you are talking to. So some of the goodness, some of the grace, some of the majestic work that Christ has done in that person's life might come out. You are communicating that to that person. You're communicating the message of Christ to that person. It says, be gracious and attractive with your speech, that you will have the right response to everyone. Be careful what we say. Be people of the light. Think about the message that you're about to communicate. J.D. Wall, in his devotions, we've been following J.D. Walt's devotions over this 5-6 week period. And one of the things he says is he has a quote in there. He says, have a genuine interest in the other person that you are talking to. My friends in Portland, in England, they had a genuine interest in me. They cared about what I cared about. They were mindful and alert of what was going on in front of them. Paul goes on to say in his letter to Colossae, Tychius will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Who the heck is Tychius? Who is he? I've never heard of him before until I got to this text. I'd never read him in the Bible before. I breezed by this bit, these friends. After a bit of research, you can see that he was with the Paul in Ephesus when there was a riot going on. There was a riot going on about the gospel being communicated in Ephesus because they were having to destroy all their statues. And a riot broke out. And Paul and Tychicus and all these other people who were in ministry with him, they're with him, right close with him. And then there was a threat on his life. And Tychicus and the others, the brothers and sisters, they were there with him. So this is the kind of guy that has got your back. He's there for you no matter what you're going through. And Paul trusts him with the message. This guy gets it. And you can imagine him passing the letter through the bars in the jail. You can imagine passing to make sure this gets to Colossae. Later on he says, in fact, take it to Laodicea as well. Pass it around so people know this encouragement and this gospel message we have. He said to Tychicus, take it. I'm also sending with you, the next verse he says to him, I've also sending you Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happening here. So he sends these two people. Onesimus, also not mentioned much, but he gets his own book, Philemon. And Philemon is a short one-chapter book in the New Testament that is Paul's letter to Philemon pleading that Onesimus is freed up from being a slave because he's understood what the gospel is. He'd stolen from his master, and Paul begged him, look, I'm now using his gifts for ministry. He's now passionate about ministry, and please, I beg you, forgive him. You free him up from being a slave because he's going to help me communicate the message around the Mediterranean basin. So he says, this guy gets it, and Tychicus gets it, and these guys are in ministry together, and I trust them to communicate this message. They're in ministry. Ministry in Greek is waiting tables. It means waiting tables. Often we say to one another, well, what do you do? What is it you do? And we think you're referencing like what profession you do, what you once did, and what do you do like, you know, 5 or 6 days a week that occupies most of your time. I don't want to say no matter what you do, do it all for Jesus Christ. Amen? We want to do it no matter what you do, whether you driving around, driving your mother around, you're taking care of your mother, whether you're going back and forth to hospital with people, whether you're a server, whether you work in a grocery store, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, whether you have a long profession ahead of you, whatever it is, do that for Lord Jesus Christ, who wants us to pepper our conversation, salt our conversation, season it, so that others will know whom our security is, the message that we want to communicate. What is that message? Well, the people that I was with knew that message. And if I was to go back in time to see Kathy, if I was to go back in time to see Debbie, if I was to go back in time to see Simon and Mike and Woody, I think what I'd say to them is that they are passionate about leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. They understood it. They were like Tychicus. They are like Onesimus, who delivered the message. They were passionate about it. They were passionate in their participation. They were open-hearted and generous with what God had given this rental flat. And they had a continuous focus on the future. Who else is going to know the message? Who else do you want to know the message? And this is our message today for us. This is our message that Paul's given us. And he's given it, we now understand, not just by himself, but through 7 other people who have helped him in ministry. So the message is very simple for our last service, for our last in the series. Be a Tychicus. Be an Onesimus. Sometimes we think that We have to follow prominent Christians or professional Christians, you know. Sometimes we think that if we follow this leader, we follow this preacher, we follow this musician, we follow this rabbi, this teacher, that if I could just be like her, if I could just be like him, then my walk with the God would be easier. If I could just be like him, then maybe I would sense the presence of the Holy Spirit more. If I could just be like him, then maybe my following Jesus would be easier. Paul says, listen to my servant Tychicus. Listen to Onesimus, because they've got the message. And today is Memorial Weekend, as you know, and you might thank somebody for their service. I want you to do something else. If there's somebody that instilled the message in you of Christ loving you, of Christ liking you, of you being cherished, thank them. Send them a note. Text them. Say to them, thank you so much. You're the reason I am here. You're the reason that I understand that I am loved. So be an Onesimus. Be a Tychicus. Well, insert your name here. Place your name here for somebody who communicates the message. Back in Easter, I said that I was adding a name to my name, right? I've only got two names, Keith Harcombe, and I was going to insert a middle name here. I'm going to take my father's middle name. I'm going to be William, Keith William Harcombe. And there's three reasons why I'm doing that. The first is, it's 30 years since I decided to follow Christ. And I was 20 when I did that, so I'm going to be... Some of you got it. Okay, so that's old. Oh my gosh, I'm so old. I'm like right in the middle here on the other side kind of thing. So I want to make sure I get my name. And the other reason is I get ordained this year, which also took 30 years, it feels like. And the final reason, which is the most important reason, is that I have never been more convinced that people need to hear this message. Amen? People need to hear that Christ loves them. People need to hear that Jesus likes them, that he cherishes them. We need to listen to Onesimus's and Tychicus's. And I have never been more convinced than that today. And if you agree, if you are here for that reason, if you're here for the message and the communicating of that, say it nice and loud, amen. Amen. And so this brings us to the end of our domino series. I'm hoping someone can help me. Maybe Jess can help me, because I've got six dominoes and I've only got two hands. But let's see here. Oh, Kathy's going to help me. Thank you so much. Give Pastor Kathy a round of applause. Thank you, Kathy. And you're on the other side, yeah. So here's number one right here. What was number one? Do you remember? Proximity. Proximity to the ascended Christ. Number two is Christ is in you. Christ is in not us, but it's not number three. This is number three. Here we go. Christ is in us. Christ is our life. Number five, which is we've dropped a dot. That's all right. Here we go. Yeah, good job. Jack of all trades. Number five is Christ is our method. And all the way on the end here is Christ is the message. Thank you. The one person right here. Christ is our message. And when we start to understand each of these principles, now you have to imagine them being 1.5 times bigger. When we understand all these principles, we line them up. We start to realize something. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Ready? When we get all these, ready? Go. Thank you, Pastor Kathy. When we line all these major theological principles up, when we line up all of these things that Paul has been teaching us in Colossians, we realize there is nothing greater than the message of Christ. we realize that actually our proximity to Christ matters. We realize that Christ is in you, people we might not agree with. We realize that Christ is in us. We realize that actually this method is we've got to keep on doing it. We've got to keep putting our clothes on. We've got to keep clothing ourselves. And then we realize that this message, all the way back to number one, impacted us at some point in our lives. Domino number six is Christ is our message. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, you indeed are our hope. You indeed are our foundation. You indeed are the one we desire to follow. We desire to clothe ourselves so that we might communicate this message. Give us strength in divided times. Give us strength as a church to do it. Give us strength personally as we try and we make an effort, make headway to teaching others about you. Lord, we want to do this with all of our hearts. We want to do this in our community. We ask, Lord God, that you would guide us as we do this. You would give us strength. You would stir up the Holy Spirit within inside our lives. And we would be your messengers of the message. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said,